Well, good morning. Good to see each one here today. Thankful for the Lord's blessings to all of us. I am thankful for traveling mercy and being able to be in a little bit of the meeting at Guthrie. The first weekend. And I'd like to maybe, don't know just how long we'll spend on this, but we've spent time up before last Sunday talking about spiritual growth. And so this is probably going to be more than we'll cover in one setting before we're finished, but I would like to talk about something I'm going to call power with God. I think we need a new black marker. But I'd like to turn to the book of Hosea this morning. And Hosea will most likely was prophesying during at least some of the time that Isaiah was. Isaiah seemed to be a prophet to the kingdom of Judah, and Hosea, it appears, was a prophet mostly in the land of Israel. I might have a few facts mixed up. I'm not going to say that I'm an expert on this. But I will say that the book of Hosea is, he points out a lot of failures of integrity in the people. And in the direction that they were going. So I'd like to look in the 12th chapter of Hosea, begin in the first verse, read down a few. It says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. Does that sound very substantial? I don't know how you would eat the wind or feed on that, other than knowing that the wind causes a lot of, can cause destruction, and it seems to be, we see the effects of it, but wind itself is not hard, it's hard to describe, it's an intangible thing. It says, he daily increased lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. So not only Ephraim, which would have most likely been considered part of the nation of Israel, but also Judah, the kingdom of Judah, he said, will be punished, and will punish Jacob. Jacob being a direct descendant of, yes. Judah being a descendant of Jacob. Jacob, it says, will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. So, we know that when we do wrong things, there are negative outcomes. And we know that there is consequence that happens to intentionally doing things the wrong way. I would say all of us, when we work for an employer, that honest mistakes are usually absorbed by the company just pretty much across the board. If we did not have training on something and we attempted to, drive the forklift and we bumped something and we had no training, then a lot of times those kind of things are overlooked. But if we had been an expert forklift operator and had the training and had all of certifications, and people had a lot of confidence in us, and then we made a grievous error with the forklift, drove it off the edge of the dock, and ended up in the hospital and damaged some freight or whatever it was, there could probably be a serious consequence of that. I mean, if you drive the forklift off the dock and there's no truck there and whatever was on the fork truck was destroyed, my guess is your job might be in jeopardy. So if we look here in the third verse, he says, he's talking about Jacob, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him and found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. It is well known, it's a memorial, it's well known that Jacob had power with God. It seemed that from the very beginning, before he was actually born, he was destined to be a leader, because it says he took his brother by the heel. There were twins, Jacob and Esau, that was born there. But he said in verse 3, it says, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. We know that Jacob was the one that was, when he was in a distressful situation, and we could, we'll turn and read that in Genesis chapter 23, he wrestled with an angel all night long. Let's read over there in Genesis chapter 23. And I'm sorry, not 23, 32. Dyslexic, I guess. 32 and verse 24 beginning. It says, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. So this is what was being referenced over here in Hosea. He said, Jacob, you that are descendants of Jacob, you have a heritage. There's a memorial of you having power with God. Jacob was the one that when he was facing his brother, he wrestled with an angel. He would not give up. Do you know that just as the angel was able to touch him and put his leg or his hip or whatever it was out of joint, the angel could have very easily taken his life in that situation. But Jacob was determined not to give up until he got some power, until he got a real blessing. So there is a point here that I want us to realize, that Jacob had power with God because of something. And I want us to recognize this morning that for us to have power with God, do you want to have power with God? Do you think it's a good idea to have power with God? I think it's a good idea to have power with God. I think it's good to have some power, and I'd like for us to start thinking about power kind of in this line. It's good to have power with other individuals in our life. Sometimes we might say we're calling in a favor. I help you with something, and then we need some help. So we call someone up and say, hey, I need some help. I'm going to load something or unload something, or I need some of your expertise in what you do. And I've invested in you to the point that I feel like I have a little bit of power. Maybe you want somebody to open their place of business and sell you a part that they're normally closed. Or maybe you call them and say, it's going to be, I might be five minutes after quitting time when I get there. Would you stay until I get there? I really need this part. And if you've got some power with them, you know what usually happens? Sure, come on. I'll wait. I'll be waiting for you. I'll have the part laid out on the counter. That's the kind of power that I'm talking about this morning. You know, Brother Mark's not here, so if he was, I'd still be saying this. I feel like that we have I have some power with him. We've had interaction, and I believe I could call him up and say, I need some pointers on how to finish this sheetrock. And he ultimately has some power with me. You know, he calls me up sometimes, and sometimes after service he'll say, hey, I've got a question. So we have some power with one another. It's not like walking up to a stranger that has maybe some drywall stains on their, you know, some drywall mud splattered on them and said, hey, how would you go about fixing this crack? I don't have any power with that person. But with Brother Mark, I do. I can walk up to him and say, how would you go about this? And knowing him, he would probably say, I'll come over there and help you, or I'll come over and do it for you. And he, there's a level of power exchange there that benefits both parties, doesn't it? And I want us to think about, you know, I want to have us to have power with God. I want him to recognize me when I ask something of him. I don't want it to be, although I believe he wants to be a heavenly father to all mankind. He wants to have communication with everybody. And he'll take a new convert at any moment. Anybody that meets the conditions, I believe God is ready there to forgive and to accept and to adopt and all of those kind of things. But I'm thinking about us being in situations like Jacob found himself. He was facing Esau with the potential that Esau was going to be endeavoring to take his life. And we know that Esau was coming to meet him with how many men? Didn't it say 400 men if we read that? I believe that number is right. But he came with armed men to meet his brother. Now, you don't just come and meet somebody with an army if you're intending just to hug their neck. I would think that you had something else in mind if you're coming with armed men to meet your brother. And we know that when they last met, their last exchange between them, Esau was threatening to take his life. So Jacob was going back to that. He was going back in that environment. He realized what was ahead of him, and he knew he was desperate. If the angel took his life, so be it. That's how desperate he was. He was determined to have a level. He said, I won't let you go until you bless me. I will not give up trying. Can you imagine how much pain, literal pain, that Jacob was in when he was wrestling with his thigh out of joint? While I was down in Guthrie, I was talking to Brother Matt Gillenbeck a little bit, and he's telling me about the accident. He's still hopping around on one leg and one foot up on the some kind of little scooter, trying to let it heal, and not able to put weight on his foot. He's in still quite a bit of pain, and I thought he was doing something. Reckless, I'll just say it that way, when the accident happened. Come to find out, he was just doing the fatherly thing of letting his children learn how to drive. And he had one of his boys on his lap, I think, driving, and one of them was, another one was scared, and the one that had been trying to turn the steering wheel, I guess, turned the steering wheel the wrong way, and they ended up turning over in the side ditch in front of their house. And when they did, the one that had been driving got thrown out, and somehow the UTV fell on his foot and really broke Brother Matt's foot up. But he said when he fell out, and he seen the little one, he was trapped underneath the four-wheeler, and he felt like it was right across his abdomen or his chest, and he realized he wasn't being able to breathe, and he was trying to cry, and he jumped off of the thing, jumped out of the way, and he was trying to lift that thing off of him and get the child out. And he said I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. He said I couldn't lift that thing. He said it's heavy, but he said I don't know why I couldn't lift it. And after it was all over, he realized he was trying to lift on his broken foot. But he was so focused on trying to untrap one of his little boys that the pain, he said once he realized his child was safe, his body started shaking because he was hurting so bad. You know, Jacob was so intent on receiving a blessing. To me, there's a whole lot of effort went in, and not just at the moment of him. I think there was a time elapse between him saying, I won't turn you loose until you bless me, and when the blessing came. I don't think it was as quick as it sounds there. I think he wrestled a while longer, and his thigh was out of joint. His body, if he would have allowed his body to dictate what he was feeling, he would have been shaken with pain. Instead, he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm determined to have some power. And Hosea said, Jacob was the one that said yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. That's how he had power with God, is he was unwilling to back up on his desire and his determination and his perseverance. He was willing to expend himself. There was something that was at the focal point of his mission. Ultimately, he knew that he could not face his brother without having been in touch with God. And there are, we are going to have things in life that it is going to be imperative that we have some power with God. That we're on a first name basis with God, so to speak. That we're able to know that with confidence, not just have a head knowledge, but that we will be able to have a confidence that God is in control of this situation. Jacob had already sent his wives and children and appeasement offerings, if you will, on ahead of him. And his life is the one that Esau was threatening. And he was determined to have some kind of power with God before he went and met his brother. Now I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and notice something here. I believe that today it's very important for us to go beyond just spiritual growth. I'd like for us to recognize how important it is for us to have power with God. I want to be more than just a small, fragile seedling. I want to become a tree of righteousness, and I want to be in a place where we have some power with God. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and begin reading in verse, maybe we'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So Hosea noticed that Judah, the descendants of Jacob, had been in a place of having power with God. And now the Apostle Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus, and he said, finally, my brethren, in conclusion of all of it, to sum up whatever else I could preach about, be strong in the Lord. There needs to be some strength in your relationship with the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then he starts giving us a itemized list. Do y'all ever use lists? I use some lists. I made a list and I went to Lowe's yesterday and I got everything on my list. And when I got home, I realized I'd forgotten to put something on my list, so I didn't get it. I went to Lowe's and back. I could have got it at Lowe's, and I got back to the house, and about the time I pulled in the driveway, I was like, oh, I forgot to put that on my list. And here, the Apostle Paul gives the church at Ephesus a list. You want to have some power with God? You want to put yourself in a place where you're on a first name basis. You're at the top of the list. You're let's all face it. If you have a customer that spends thousands of dollars with you every month, that customer, you're more likely to keep the door open for them than somebody that only buys $25 a month and then complains about the stuff he buys, right? If you only got somebody that spends $25 a month and then he comes back and says, that didn't fix my problem, more than likely, if he says, will you wait 10 minutes for me to get there, they say, sorry, we're closing. That'll just save us some trouble dealing with you later. But if you're the customer that spent $10,000 a month with them and you say, hey, would you stay open? I need whatever it is. I need some wiper blades for my wife's car. You know, there's a good chance they'll say, you know what? I'll just set the wiper blades outside and you can pick them up. We'll settle up later. That's because you got some power with them, you see. I want us to be in a place like that, not that we should ever overextend the privileges that power gives us, but I want us to be in a place that the Lord is willing to have something ready for us when we get there. Jacob wanted something. He wanted something that would already start working on Esau's heart before he got to him. That's why he was doing the wrestling. It wasn't because he just liked to wrestle. He had something he was facing that was bigger than him. He had got himself in a place that he wished he wasn't in, and he needed some help. So he said, the scripture says, that he wrestled and he told the angel, "I will not let you go until you bless me." So notice here what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor." I don't want you to go into this confrontation without all of it. I'd like to have all of my tools with me all of the time, but I don't have that. And, you know, I got to Guthrie, and there was a hydrant that was leaking, and it had been leaking the last time I was at Guthrie and maybe the last two times I was at Guthrie, and I thought, you know what? It's time to fix the hydrant. I don't know. So I started, but I didn't have anything to work. I didn't have a pipe wrench, and I didn't have a shovel. I didn't have things that I needed to work with to fix this problem. So I had to go and ask some people that I had some power with. I called one brother on the phone. I called another brother on the phone, and I said, "Look, I need a couple pipe wrenches, not little ones. I need some big ones." And one brother said, "I'll be right there. I'll get some tools and put them in my car." And he was. He came over there, and we worked on that together until we got it fixed. It all happened not because we're intimidating one another, but because we have a level of power with one another. I had a relationship. I could borrow on that relationship, if you will. I could depend on that. There was some power involved. He said, "I want you to have the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." There's not a person that starts out to live for the Lord that the Lord wants you to fail. There are so many. I've had people to tell me that they feel like they've displeased the Lord, but they don't know what it is. I tell them every time they tell me that, that's not the Lord. If you feel like you displeased the Lord, he's going to tell you what it is. He's going to be that clear and that faithful to you. If you feel that you've displeased the Lord and you don't know what you've displeased him in, that's the devil. He's trying to confuse you. He's trying to discourage you. But if you can just, you can write that down and circle it. If the Lord is talking to you and making you feel condemnation, you're going to know why you're condemned. He's going to tell you whether you wasn't as honest as you should have been, whether you was too short with your the people that you've talked with, he's going to tell you what it is. That's the way the Lord is, because he doesn't want you to fail. He always comes from the perspective of help, not from the perspective of trying to condemn you. If he tells you what it is and you ignore it, then there's condemnation that comes from God. And it'll be just condemnation. He says, "Put on the whole armor." He says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's all of these spiritual battles going on, and we need some power with God. We need some confidence in our relationship with the Lord to do battle in this element, we have to do fighting, where we have to do our combat. All this spiritual realm, this wickedness in high places, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We need to be able to take the armor on so that when the obstacles come, whether it's an Esau-type object, obstacle, where the relationship was severely damaged, or whether it's something in our own personal integrity that the Lord has put his finger on, and we're having to work through that, he says here that we'll be able to stand. We'll be able to stand with God in the way he wants us to. We'll have some power if we put the whole armor on. He said, stand therefore. And this is on the list. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. Your loins are the most vulnerable place in our body. It has the least amount of skeletal protection. Our rib cage protects our heart, lungs, that kind of thing. But below our rib cage, we're pretty susceptible. And you know where a predator goes first is where we're most vulnerable. And it says here, having your loins girt about with truth. What do you want to protect your most vulnerable place with? Is truth. This is how we gain some power. It says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I want, although I have some skeletal protection, the enemy wants to, he has arrows and he has a sword and he has things that he wants to slide in between my ribs and get me in the heart. And that's why I want a breastplate of what? Righteousness. Dependable living. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You want something on your feet that'll help you share the gospel. I'm at a stage in my life to take my shoes off is a crippling thing. I make it in the house and on a nice smooth floor, but if you put two or three pieces of gravel on this floor here in the chapel, I'm going to find it with my feet if I'm barefoot. And it's gonna almost put me down when I step on that. It's gonna hurt. Matthew, on the other hand, you can take his shoes off and he runs across the gravel just like I would run across the carpet, because his feet are toughened up to that. But I want to have something on my feet to where I can go and continue to go. And the discomforts of the way won't impact me. It says here, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, above all taking the shield of faith, something to deflect the attack of the enemy. How we're going to have power with God? This is one of the things I need. I need a shield that holds up. I can hold up in front of me and I can deflect the things that the enemy is trying to put against me. Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, fiery darts of the wicked. The shield is able to deflect those things. It's able to quench them, it says here. To take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This sounds like a full suit of armor, doesn't it? Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I want to have some power with God to be able to be effective not only in sharing the message, but protecting my own spiritual life and my own spirit, my soul, my relationship with the Lord. So my little burden this morning is that we would begin to understand how important it is for us to have a relationship with the Lord that gives us some relationship power. We should have relationship power with our spouses, with our children. I don't recommend us infringing on that power and overextending that power, but it is very effective, and it should be effective, and it should be something that we're willing for it to work both directions. Your spouse should have a level of power over you just like you have a level of power over them. So I want us, the whole point this morning is that we will get the idea that there is, that power with God is an attainable thing, it's an achievable thing, and it's a necessary thing. It's something that not only is it just an idea, but it is attainable, it's achievable, and it's something that we should be able to have. So may the Lord bless us. I think we'll stop for this morning, but I'd like for us to really get a hold of the idea that having power with God is an important thing. It's not something that we ought to just consider as it being out there somewhere, but it's something that's available for us. And Lord, help us to have it in our own lives. You pray for me.